I think you've had the highlight of your season. And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way. I think you might have.
Sounds disrespectful.
It's going to get worse. I mean, if it doesn't get worse and they come out of the next four games with 10 points.
I thought you were going to give them some kind of heartfelt positive, let's do this. And you were like, nah, it's going to get worse. It's downhill from here. One win, one draw, 9 losses.
Relegate him now.
I love it, mate. Because he's a scumbag.
Cut! Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Board Draw, episode 114. And it's been another international break. Stinky, stinky football, breaking up the season. Just give me back the Premier League.
Do you guys miss us when we're gone? Because I miss it.
The only thing I don't miss is having to watch QPR play. Which
facts.
It's been horrendous. But we're not here to talk about them, thankfully enough. We're here to talk about the Premier League.
The Premier League.
I mean,
I work with so many Americans and all they say is the Premier League, and I want to slap them every single time.
It's disgusting, isn't it?
I hate it.
Nothing, the only thing worse than Americans pronounce the Premier League is their football takes.
Or, do you know, is it at the, I don't know where it is in America, but do you know those like stadiums where they can like get front row seats to the match happening in the UK? So they like watch it on a big screen, but it looks like they're in the stadium.
Horrendous.
Fucking hate that.
Horrendous. The chants, pretty bad as well. But we're not here to slag off the United States and their takes on football. The Premier League...
And their politicians.
The Premier League is shaping up. The table is tabling. Things are happening. There's upsets left, right and centre. You just can't predict it. This Premier League season is shaping up to be pure Barclays. We might actually have a title race. We might actually have a fairly interesting relegation scrap.
I'm doing like a title race, finally.
It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
And we're just basically going to take this time during this international break. Let's have a little review, a look back. Because sometimes we're so caught up looking forward that we forget to look back on what has happened. And you think to yourself, did that happen this season?
What do they say in Ferris Bueller's Day Off? If you don't stop to look around, you miss something.
The journey.
Something about that. Quote me on that.
What's the one from Andy from the office? He's like, I wish you knew when you were in the good times.
Yeah. Yeah. I wish you knew when it was the good old days, yeah. When you're in the good old days or something like that. Facts!
We are in the good old days. We are in the good days because the Premier League is tasty. Sitting pretty at the top of the table is Liverpool, and they will be our first point of discussion. Arne Slot, we're speaking ad nauseum about Arne Slot and how he's come into the Liverpool job. He stepped in some size 15 German shoes, but the bald Dutchman is flying. He is the flying Dutchman.
And it wasn't easy because, like you said, massive shoes to fill. And track, well, like you've got like a excellent kind of copy in like Ten Hag has come from Dutch football. Very good CV in Dutch football. Quite good little European CV. Come to a big English club, big shoes to fill, flopped. Sacked.
Yeah, you've had like that sort of like preliminary tester.
Exactly.
And it's gone horrendously.
So it's mental that Liverpool did the exact same thing. Straight to the Dutch league. Geezer that's got a good kind of domestic CV. Not much in terms of Europe like Ten Hag had. But yeah, Arne Slot, just different aura when he came in.
What Liverpool have done this season, and it's not a massive shake-up from how they've really played under Klopp. They're a lot better defensively, I think. Mm. And I think they're a bit more controlled in their build-up.
6 goals conceded.
They are playing phenomenal football. And what has sort of struck out to me is their ability to just find a way. Like, when things aren't working, he makes subs and they work. Mm. Almost every time. We're seeing players who probably haven't been highlighted for, under Jurgen Klopp's tenure, like Curtis Jones, like Konate, Cody Gakpo even has done well. Luis Diaz has come really good. Ryan Gravenberch, like sort of these fairly unsung heroes who we knew were good players, but they've risen to the challenge.
Gravenberch in particular.
Yeah.
A lot of people calling him best midfielder in the Premier League this season.
I mean, I think Curtis Jones has been outstanding last few weeks.
Is teching.
Even for Liverpool, for England as well, he was phenomenal. And I think he's got something different that a lot of players don't have.
I really like him. I think he is... He'd be starting for me over Szoboszlai every single day of the week.
Yeah, I think so as well.
But yeah, Liverpool, let's talk about them.
They've had a fairly easy run to the start of the season.
That's what I always say. I've got a mate at work, supports Liverpool, and he's like, oh yeah, we're winning the league, la-di-da-di-da. And I'm like, talk to me in December. Because yeah, the run-in now for Liverpool until kind of Christmassy time is techie.
Let me run you through it and we'll see how many points we reckon they're going to get. So yeah. Southampton away.
Dumb.
Fresh off international break. I think that's 3 points.
Yeah.
Then they've got City at home.
Yeah. And we will talk about City after we cover Liverpool. They're not looking great at the moment. But,
I mean,
that is their, I think, Liverpool's second real tester of the season. First tester being Arsenal.
They had Chelsea as well.
Chelsea, we'll talk about them as well.
They've had Villa.
I think Chelsea up and down. Villa, I think Villa at home should be a dub for Liverpool anyway.
But yeah, Man City at home. And I think if you're a Liverpool fan, you were sort of wishing that there was no international break and City would continue this torrid run of form.
Right, I'm going to just be like, harsh. That's a loss.
Worst case scenario. Yeah. Loss. Newcastle away. That's a hard place to go to St. James's Park.
Give them a point.
I think they're probably favourites. But I think a point is away at St. James's Park is good for pretty much every team in the Premier League. Mm. Everton away. Merseyside derby. The last one at Goodison.
Fattest dub ever.
Fulham at home.
Dub.
Tottenham away.
Don't want to back Tottenham. Maybe a draw.
And then on Boxing Day, they've got Leicester at home.
Dub.
So, I mean, this is the tight running where they've got about like 12 games in about 3 days. They've got Tottenham on the 21st, Leicester at home on the 26th, West Ham away on the 29th, and then they've got Man United at home on the 4th.
It's a weird one. For me, it's not even about like the difficulty of the games. It's like you're saying, it's just those little kind of... It's the quickness of the games.
If you hit a bad run of form in December...
Just drop like points here and there and they start dropping in. At the moment, they're clear. They're 5 points clear. They start dropping into the mix when you start dropping random points like Arsenal and City have at the moment.
But I'm looking at that running and I'm thinking, right, I'm highlighting Man City, Newcastle and Spurs, Tottenham... Yeah. And in Man United, maybe under Amorim. But that's an unknown. So Man City, Tottenham and Newcastle are the three that I would be concerned about.
Yeah.
But against every team they've played so far this season, I think they've almost certainly always been the better team.
Yeah.
I think that's the case. And
yeah.
I mean, they're catching Man City at probably the right time. Mm. Like I said, they probably would have wished it was a couple of weeks earlier. But, you know, if they get through this period, if they get into January and they're top of the league and they've still got a 4 point cushion, 5 point cushion,
then I'll start worrying.
Then they're serious
they might be
contenders.
Too late. Yeah.
I mean, I think they're already contenders.
Oh, yeah, they're in the race.
Well, how many games are we in? 12 games?
11.
11 games and have conceded 6 goals.
6 goals conceded, 9 win, 1 draw, 1 loss. It's great stuff.
It's phenomenal. It's really good. And I still think what they've got going for them is that their best is yet to come.
Yeah. Yeah.
I haven't seen them.
Is there AFCON this year?
No, it's qualifying this year. Because I think Ghana got knocked out of the qualifiers.
That could help, of course.
That, well, 100%, because we know what that does to Mo Salah. But yeah, and I think if they get through this December period and they're still sitting top of the table with one or two additions.
Yeah.
A little bit of depth, maybe.
I think what they need to just get lucky a bit more. Like, Arsenal, without Odegaard for the start of the season, without Saka for a bit of the season, Man City, no Rodri, is huge. They've made it count. They've got dubs where the other guys are falling off.
They put the points on the table.
Liverpool, if they've just got to hope they don't get an injury to a big man.
Yeah, I mean,
to be fair, they're out with Alisson at the moment, but is that big a loss like Kelleher is really good?
If we just talk about Kelleher for 1 minute, really, I genuinely think he could go to, you know, any team in the Premier League from about 4th to 10th. And he'd be the number one keeper. I'm looking at some of the keepers in the Premier League.
Spurs should sign him.
And I'm thinking, it's mental that this kid is just sat at Liverpool on his bench.
Yeah.
And he comes in and he plays his heart out and he is phenomenal.
So yeah, I'm not even classifying the Alisson injury as that big a loss,
but
really.
You're talking about...
But Van Dijk or Salah.
I mean, Trent could potentially be out. I don't think it's as big a miss if they were missing a Van Dijk.
Yeah,
Van Dijk. Van Dijk, who's been probably the best defender of Premier League this season.
And Salah being probably the best winger in Premier forward. Yeah.
Maybe even a Gravenberch.
So if
but
any
I think
of
they
those...
could facilitate a Gravenberch injury, you know.
Yeah, but Salah and Van Dijk,
If one of those two gets injured.
Because that is like the equivalent of the Odegaard, Saka or Rodri, Kevin De Bruyne.
I think, like, the thing is, if Salah gets injured, you can't replace him. But I think Liverpool's, the fact they've got structure now, the way they build up, they will still score goals. Mm. I mean, their goals are coming from Luis Diaz. Cody Gakpo is chipping in with a few, you know. Diego Jota's still got to come back from injury. He's permanently injured. But, you know, if you lost Van Dijk, though, Gerard Quansa, he's got hooked at the beginning of the season and we haven't really seen him.
Have you seen the messages that he's...
Oh, mate, he's got more trouble than just on the pitch.
Mate, yeah, I was going to say...
I really liked him as well.
Yeah, he was good, but I'll keep him nowhere near the starting 11. For some of the shit that he's putting out there on social media, it's crazy.
No, he's like, fucked it for me, mate.
I saw someone say David Coote said that to the guy that was recording him as well. But these guys.
Maybe another centre-back, just some depth, I think, but...
We haven't seen Chiesa yet.
Yeah, well, apparently he's on his way back to Serie A.
Yeah, he's sick of it.
Yeah, I mean, just look at the weather. I'm not blaming him. But yeah, Liverpool, if they can just, you know, get through unscathed, they've got a really good opportunity here. But we know what the footballing fixtures calendar is like.
Yeah, if they compete in Europe as well. Could get techie. Well, they're doing really well in Champions League at the moment. Maybe they'll take their foot off the gas a little bit.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. But they've got the depth to sort of rely on. We see that Arne Slot's not opposed to rotating his teams. We've seen Kostas Tsimikas coming in. Their midfield is highly interchangeable. Mm. Their forward line, they've got probably the most depth in the forward line. Like, the average quality is outstanding.
Yeah.
So, I would be nervous if I was Man City or Arsenal.
Yeah.
Speaking of Man City, is it going to get better? This international break came at the right time for them.
Oh, yeah. God, yeah.
I mean, I'm sure that Pep has had them in every day. Every single day.
Well, you saw Harry Kane come out and say lots of he's angry at the players that didn't join England for the international camp. I hear it.
I mean, if the new manager's not there,
what the fuck is point?
I don't get that reason.
Like, risking an injury to impress,
play against Greece and
you're impressing no one because the manager and all the new staff aren't there.
Yeah, I do get it. It's not a good look, is it?
It's not, because Gareth Southgate's worked hard to kind of reignite the passion for playing for England. But yeah, mate. These guys got to make
obviously
bread.
Obviously, a stat padder like Harry Kane is going to be there. The smaller the team, the more he wants to play.
Brother, he would take that penalty against
playing,
Ireland.
If they were playing against Gibraltar, you know he's telling Lee Carsley, if I'm not starting, you're in trouble.
You see that he got a statue made of himself. It was outside like a training ground that he grew up as a kid. And it looks like, do you know that Ronaldo one that was like an absolute howler? Kind of looks like that.
Yeah.
I'll put it up on the screen.
But yeah, Man City... Obviously, no Rodri has been the biggest issue.
5 points off Liverpool, 7 wins, 2 draws, 2 losses. One thing that stands out for me here is 22 goals for. That's one more than Liverpool and Chelsea, a couple more than Arsenal, a couple more than Brighton. Normally, you see Man City already 5, 6, 7 goals clear of every other team. They're not banging them as hard as they were.
Well, and
Haaland started the season on fire. He's trailed out a bit.
Yeah.
No Kev, no Rodri. Phil Foden is... God knows where that Don is. What's going on in the attacking sense? They're struggling to break down teams.
You very rarely look at Man City and think, we can have a fucking go here.
Yeah.
And that's what teams have started doing.
Yeah.
And without Rodri, who is... He takes them from a 5 out of 10 to a 9 out of 10 literally like every game, just him being on that pitch. Mm. They don't get to recycle the ball as much, so they don't create as many opportunities. They have to think more about going backwards than they used to, because they've got no Ruben Diaz. They've got a makeshift back line. They've got Kyle Walker, who is just absolutely so past it, it's unreal. And then that midfield is like Kovacic and Gundogan. So you've got Gundogan, who's about 60, who I think is still a really good player. But he can't even do 10% of what Rodri was doing. And neither can Kovacic.
Yeah.
Couldn't tie his laces.
It strikes me like that team just doesn't have the answers like they used to. Like, no Rodri, who's insanely clutch. No Kev, who is insanely clutch. Phil Foden, who's like a ghost of last season. Last season he was insanely clutch. He's barely helping. Haaland, last season, absolutely clutch. Yes, Haaland has bagged loads, but...
But he scored like 4 and then he scored 3.
Yeah, I'm seeing him go missing a lot.
But it's like, you need to keep putting it on a plate for him.
And like, last season...
He's not going to do it himself.
Man City went behind in games. Like, I think for a while now, they haven't had like as rock-tight a defence as they used to. But last season, even if they go behind, I knew for certain they'd find a way and score like 3.
Yeah.
Whereas like this season, that Southampton game where they won 1-0, they struggled to get that one goal. And then that Bournemouth game, they went behind. Oh, no. Yeah, they went behind and then they struggled to get one goal. The Brighton game, struggled to get one goal. The fucking Sporting game, get battered. It's like they're struggling to find these clutch ideas that they normally have.
Their lineup against Brighton was Edison, probably still like a top five keeper in the league. I wouldn't say he's top three, but he's top five probably. Rico Lewis, who I like, don't think he's defensively sound.
Yeah, I think I've got questions about him.
Then a centre-back pairing of Kyle Walker.
Get him gone.
And Jaime Simpson-Pousy.
Jeez.
Vardiol. Vardiol is probably the only defender on that back line who I think
can hold his maybe... High, yeah.
He's probably the best left-back in the league.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Kovacic sitting with Savinho, Foden, Gundogan and Nunez. It's makeshift all over the pitch.
It's makeshift. And none of those are like world-class killers. Maybe Foden if he's in last season's form. Or Gundo if he's in last season's form. But the drop-off's crazy.
I think it's soft. There's like a soft underbelly at the minute to this team. And like even their bench. Like, yeah, so you're expecting Akanji and Ake to play when they're fully fit. Kev will probably slot back in once he's fully fit. But you're not getting 90 minutes out of him for like two games a week.
No.
You know, you're going to get 60 and maybe a 45 if you're lucky. McAtee, O'Reilly, Bernardo Silva, obviously, who we know his quality. Wilson Esperand and Wright. I mean, that bench is honking.
It's a weird one because we know the Man City Academy's got quality, like the likes of Cole Palmer, Foden, blah, blah, blah. And obviously these players need time to kind of blossom. But I totally agree. I think like teams are looking at this Man City team thinking, if we put it on them, they might not have answers.
I mean,
and I think that's what's coming to
Pep's
fruition.
Out there crying that their team's falling apart. The injuries have got Oscar Bob, bit part player.
Big loss at the start of the season, but they replaced him with Savinho.
Yeah.
That is like a direct
replacement. Don't tell me that's a problem. They have replacement.
Yeah, Savinho is that direct replacement.
Ruben Diaz is probably their biggest miss, apart from Rodri.
Rodri, yeah.
You know, Ruben Diaz, Rodri and Stones are probably three starters every week. Maybe not John Stones, but Rodri and Ruben Diaz. Yeah. Jack Grealish, bit part player for them.
You know, yeah.
I mean, that's depth they lost, but it's not massive names, but I'm looking at this team and I'm thinking like, right, you still got your number one goalkeeper, you've got one of your top defenders in Vardiol, you've got Phil Foden, you've got Savinho, who's like your starlet, you've got Matheus Nunes, who you paid a lot of money for, and you've got Erling Haaland, the best striker in world football. It can't be this bad.
Check out our last video where we kind of dissect Man City and their issues. Is it just the kind of uncertainty around Pep maybe not being in the job next year?
115.
115, that's looming. Is it just the Rodri thing? What's going on, Man City fans? Let us know in the comments down below. What's going on? Why are you second?
Third in the league, Chelsea. I mean, for me, they've got a very nice run of fixtures up until Christmas.
Do they? Hit me.
Yeah, let me...
So Chelsea, 5 wins. I don't know how they're in third with 5 wins out of 11. That's actually kind of madness. The league... It's good for the league. The league is incredibly tight because it goes 28 points Liverpool, 23 Man City, and then 19, 19, 19, 19, 18, 18, 18.
A couple wins and you're in the top four, mate.
So between ninth and third, there's 1 point.
Mental.
Grim.
Chelsea's run. They've got Leicester away, Villa at home, Southampton away, Tottenham away, Brentford at home, Everton away, Fulham at home, Ipswich away, Palace away, Bournemouth at home, Wolves at home, Man City away, and that's the end of January.
It's interesting.
I mean, their next like 10 is good.
I have them very low in my preseason predictions, mainly because the last couple of seasons we had nothing to go by apart from utter shit.
Yeah. And Maresca was an unknown factor going in, really.
I'll put my hands up. I like Maresca. I think he's got a bit about him. You can see that immediately when he came in, saw the size of the dressing room and was like, half fuck you, training, Sterling. Yeah. Fuck you, Chilwell. Left, right, centre. I rate it a lot because...
That's what was needed.
You've got an absolute mercenary at the top in Toboli kind of doing what he wants. You need someone that is a bit no-nonsense but has a football head.
Yeah.
I can imagine Chelsea fans will also want that as like a sporting director. But if you don't have a sporting director doing those kind of things...
Then who's going to do it?
Who's going to do it? At least Maresca is doing that. And he's coupled that well. Like that kind of attitude... If you don't back it with results, it's mad. Like when Ten Hag gets rid of Sancho or gets rid of Ronaldo, doesn't back it with results, and then everyone's kind of like, ooh, what's this guy doing?
He's benched their like most expensive player in Enzo Fernandez.
I love it, mate, because he's a scumbag.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like, he's doing what the team needs.
I love it. I hate Chelsea, but I love that kind of...
The approach is good.
Yeah, when a manager kind of... Don't want to liken it to Arteta, but when Arteta came in, bins off Aubameyang, bins off Ozil. If you make big calls and back it with results, the fans have just got to sit there and be like, fair dude.
Yeah,
mate.
He's done it. Yeah, I completely agree. And I think, you know, we could see them really picking up a few points here, pick up a head of steam.
And the thing is, they've got so many good players. It was just a case of if the right manager could get them in the right system working together. Yeah. There's too many good players.
All the ingredients there to make the pie. But fucking Todd Bowley is doing his most to just add everything. You know when he got the seasonings and he's like just adding everything.
Bloody put in fucking, I don't know.
It's about balance.
Cinnamon in a savoury dish. Yeah. Brother, that's not meant to go in there.
Yeah, literally. He's done a really good job here. Yeah. And I think Chelsea could be one to look out for in the next sort of 10 games or so. I think they could really... I think they'll be in that top four discussion still going towards, you know, end of January.
100%. I think defensively, still a little bit shaky.
Yeah.
Roberto Sanchez, dog shit. Cucurella.
Boy, is my FPL.
Starting. Cucurella?
No, Sanchez.
Did you?
Yeah.
Why?
Because their fixtures are good, man.
Nah, he leaks goals, but their defence is a bit leaky. Cucurella, I like, though. I think he is starting to blossom into a good signing
for
them.
He's finding his role.
Malo Gusto, I think the same there.
We're seeing
Reece James come back.
Getting managed.
Centre backs, not sure about Colwell and Fofana. But
I think there's talent there, though.
Going forward, that midfield two of Saicedo and Lavia, good. Very good.
Some Cole people saying that's front. The best duo in midfield.
Yeah, maybe.
Cole I don't
Palmer
think so,
in front.
We know what he's about.
We know what he's about, but ghosting a little bit the last couple of games.
I think, you know, he's just going to pop out of nowhere and score six.
That's the thing. He's Cole Palmer.
I really like Noni Madueke.
Madueke and Neto,
he gives
I like
me
that.
Like Liao vibes. So techie on the ball. He always wants to beat his man, and that's what I love. Final third is a little bit questionable.
Yeah, he's a little bit headstrong.
But when it goes right, it's phenomenal to watch. He's such an exciting player to watch.
Yeah,
I think Nicholas Jackson and Cole Palmer have a really nice link up.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
I think Jackson is really coming to his own. Still a little bit, you know, hot and cold in front of goal. But, and that left-hand side, they've still got some questions there. Mm. But Pedro Neto's come in, and I really like what he's been doing. I think Mudryk is... want to shift on. And we might see Jadon Sancho out there a little bit, maybe on the other side. You know, they've got depth. And you'd fucking hope so after the amount of money they spent on the amount of players they bought in. But, I like what he's been doing there, and I think they'll be...
one to watch.
One to watch out for a big fall-off, though, I think, is Nottingham Forest.
Yeah, let's talk about Nottingham Forest. Skip past Arsenal, fourth place, but maybe we'll do like another video on Arsenal where I kind of give my feelings.
So Nottingham Forest, I think they haven't had an easy run, but
19 points, same as Chelsea, same as Arsenal, same as Brighton.
They've somehow managed to turn Chris Wood into the greatest footballer I've ever seen, and I don't mean that in a disrespectful way. I genuinely think he is absolutely outstanding.
Yeah, talk to me about their run, because I can't off the top of my head, apart from the massive result against Liverpool, which I'm not discounting at all, that's an incredible result. Who else have they played that's difficult? Because they played Newcastle most recently, lost that game, and they've got us next weekend, or this weekend coming. But who else have they played that's like a good result? I mean, any result for a team that I had.
Start the season, 1-1 draw against Bournemouth. Really? Then they beat Southampton, drew against Wolves, beat Liverpool.
Yeah.
Then they had a bit of a sticky period where they drew against Brighton, lost to Fulham, and then drew against Chelsea. So it's not bad results.
Even those are like they're good results.
Yeah, beating Liverpool, drawing against Brighton, that's fine. They were down to 10 men. Then they lost against Fulham, and then they drew against Chelsea down to 10 men. They've beaten Palace and Leicester, who you'd expect to be. Mm. They smashed West Ham, and then they've gone and lost to Newcastle.
Yeah, for me, they're impressing. I had them struggling with Nuno.
I had this season. Well.
But
I almost think he's such a manager. Like
fair dues, mate.
He's very good at doing a lot with a little. Mm. But they've got good players. They really have got good players.
The centre-back partnership. We said when they signed Milinkovic, we were like, that is a good signing. He's come to prove that. Murillo, that is a nice little duo.
Sells in goal has been outstanding.
Fullbacks of Moreno that they got from Aston Villa and Ola Aina.
Yep. Everyone's just coming good.
Yeah, yeah.
And then that forward line, they've still got our knees to sort of come back and play a full
line. Yeah, Chris Wood keeping our knee out.
Yeah, I mean, but it's dynamic. It's like Callum Hudson-Odoi, Anthony Elanga, Morgan Gibbs-White. They've got talent, real talent. And it'll be you know, interesting to see how they go on. But they've got a hard run. They start back off after the international break away at Arsenal, who have a point to prove.
Yeah, we do. That could be a banana peel for us.
And then they've got Ipswich at home, which I think they should expect to beat. Then they've got Man City away, Man United away, Aston Villa at home, Brentford away. Brentford away is not one to laugh at because I think they've got like the best home form in the league.
Yeah, that's a hard little run in.
Tottenham at home. Everton away. Wolves away. Liverpool at home.
So, talk to me at Christmas then, I guess, Tottenham.
I think but we mustn't forget that he has been raining. No, it's... You know, they've had a very good run, yes.
And everybody said relegation. So, maybe...
I think just get to that, like, 40 points and anything past that's a bonus. And what they're doing is they're getting the points on the board early.
Mate, fucking...
They're beating who they should be beating.
Nice little top half finish and they're laughing.
Exactly. Hmm. Exactly. You finish 10th place now and probably get a European spot that way they're handing them out. But, yeah, I'd
enjoy the ride.
If I'm a Forest fan, or if I can speak to Forest fans here now, I think you've had the highlight of your season. And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way. I think you might have.
Sounds disrespectful.
But you can't just... It's going to get worse. Like, I mean, if it doesn't get worse and they come out of the next four games with 10 points...
I thought you were going to give them some kind of heartfelt positive, let's do this. And you were like... Nah, it's going to get worse. It's downhill from here.
But, I mean, like, if they come out of the next four games against Arsenal, Man City and fucking Man United with 10 points or 8 points or something, then I'll apologise. But for me, you're going to hit a bit of a sticky spell, but you must realise that, you know, you've done fucking well so far.
Yeah.
Stick with it. Don't...
Count your lucky stars that you're even in the top five.
I mean...
Bitch ass.
I mean, it could get a lot worse because they could have been fighting relegation. They could have not had the points on the board.
Yeah.
And, you know, the FFP, PSR, all this shit. They spent a lot of money.
Football's a fickle game. All I'd say to Forest fans, but I won't be as glass half empty as Luke. Take it a game at a time, mate. Beat Arsenal.
Yeah, but
if you hop up a couple of spots.
Mate, if they beat Arsenal and then, you know, get something against City, then I'll apologise. But it's not going to happen.
See us at episode 116.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah, no, let's hope not. I love it if they take points off City. But, top half. So that's Forest on 19 points. Brighton also on 19. Fulham 18. Newcastle 18. Aston Villa 18. Tottenham, hot pile of shit. You seen they changed their badge?
Apparently they want to move to just being known as Spurs.
Also, what a waste of time.
You got bigger things to worry about.
Yeah. Sitting down in 10th, Big Ange, the Messiah himself. Five wins, one draw, five losses.
They come back to a bit of a nasty run as well. City away, Fulham at home, Bournemouth away, Chelsea at home.
That is nasty, to be fair. I could see them dropping points in all of those. We won't do too much on Spurs because 10th, blah, blah, blah. Man United sat in 13th. We come off the international break and they have a new manager. Although, we should say, Ruud van Nistelrooy, 4 wins out of 4.
Yeah, done very well.
Seen people say keep him in the job. But, yeah, they got Ruben Amorim coming
apparently
in.
Apparently, he might be going to Coventry.
I've heard rumours about Leicester as well. Apparently, they're going to get rid of Stevie Coops and get
him
in.
I think Steve Coops doing well.
Yeah, 15th. Yeah. But, yeah, Man United, Ruben Amorim,
I actually
talk to
think
me.
He's going to hit the ground running.
Talk to me about him.
I think he's going to hit the ground running. He's inherited... Man United on a, you know, it's been like a downhill trajectory since Alex Ferguson left, and then Ruud van Nistelrooy has sort of like alleviated a little bit. It's starting to curve a little bit. He could have left them with 4 losses on the bounce. I think Amorim's gonna come in, and the players gonna be like, oh my god, we've got an actual like human being who can talk football, who isn't a massive weapon.
They
like
just
a massive bellend.
To be fair, can't do much worse than 13th. They got a 0 goal difference.
I think he's going to completely refresh their style of play.
Yeah.
I think it's going to suit players like Onana. It's going to suit players like Bruno. It's going to maybe even suit players like Marcus Rashford. Players like that. I genuinely think they're going to hit the ground running, and they'll start. And I think they'll pick up some points. They've got Ipswich away. It's like, that's a fairly nice place to go for your first game back. Then they've got Everton at home. They've got a big game against Arsenal at the Emirates. Ooh, yeah. Then they've got Forest at home and then City away.
So, Arsenal, Forest, City. That's a trio where Ruben will be tested because he'll have a couple of weeks in the job by that point.
But he already knows how to beat City.
Facts, he just smashed City. But so, yeah, I think Man United fans, I think he's a good appointment. I think
he's a really good appointment.
You can pretty much, because you've started this season so poorly, kind of
your
just write
starts here.
Yeah, just write this season off. Anything kind of, if you manage to get European football, happy days. But if you don't get anything, blame Ten Hag and start afresh next year. He's got time until now, until Jan, to kind of take a look at the team. And then he can go to Mr. Jim. Jim will fix it. And be like, Wagwan, the team needs this. Do a couple things in Jan.
I mean, I don't think they've got much to spend, though.
And then, he probably should start flogging, really.
He's like sacking off all the Christmas parties and everything. He stopped paying Fergie.
That's true.
And I think he's taken away, all the disabled people perks.
Taking away all the disabled people.
Don't think he's quite done that yet. But you shouldn't talk about the players like that. Talk to me about the bottom three.
Right.
Because I'm looking at
the bottom
that.
Bunch.
I'm talking about Southampton, I think this is kind of where I expect them to be. Wolves, I think you'll get better.
Yeah, Wolves is a weird one because
they've had a hard run.
They have had a hard run. Beat Southampton in a relegation 6-pointer before the international break. I don't know.
Let me talk you through.
They've got too many good players.
Fulham away. Hard game, but they can get something there. Bournemouth at home. Hard game, but they can get something there. Everton away. Hard game, they can do something there.
Not even a hard game, they should get something there.
West Ham away. West Ham, who can't keep a clean sheet.
Yeah, West Ham, I think, in my opinion, probably relegation form.
Ipswich at home, Leicester away.
It's a nice run of form.
It's a nice run. And what's positive is that they're scoring goals. And the games that they're losing are still tight. I don't think they've been blown away in games.
They have got the conceded the most in the league.
But it's consistent.
Consistently shit.
they're conceding consistently.
The most. Well, at least they've conceded the most consistently.
But I think it's going to get better. I really do.
I can't get much worse than the worst.
Than the bottom. Yeah, second bottom. Do you know what? It's been a tough start.
Yeah.
But they need to stick with Big Gaz and they'll be okay.
I think they've just got too many techie players. But we've seen teams get relegated with techie players. But I think Cunha is a European level player. Mm-hmm. I think the midfield of João Gomes and Lamina, that's good.
I think Sarabia's good.
Ryan Aitnuri,
defensively, I think they'll be okay. There. I'm looking at teams above them. Ipswich, Everton, Leicester. I think
I was a little bit wobbly on Ipswich at the start of the season. I think I actually had them bottom of my table.
I think it's the same as the Luton factor last year. I think people want them to do well. But I don't know if they've got the quality there to consistently be there.
I don't know.
I think they've got the best manager out of the three
bunch
that came up.
Yeah.
And I think the fact they've been in the Premier League for the first time in 20 years is a massive boost.
Before international break, to go to the Spurs and beat them 2-1.
That's Spurs, man.
That is Spurs. But Liam Gallat, what a player.
He is good.
Sammy Schmodic, good player.
Good player, yeah. Omari Hutchinson, good player. They've got Jacob Greaves to come back still.
I think
good player. I mean, they will be battling. They're not going to be knocked out. But
you might be right with the whole Luton thing. To be fair, they get results here and there, but maybe not have enough to go.
It's not consistent.
Yeah.
Crystal Palace though, I would be worried.
Me and loads of other creators at the start of the season had them tipped for a European push. They liked the business. I said, Eddie, oh, that's great. At least a big loss.
But they haven't replaced him.
We said Wharton, he's going to have a great season.
Injured.
Yeah, where's that guy been?
Decore, injured. They're lining up in
Mateta, we said, whoa, he's going to be on fire this season. He had a really good Olympics with France. Where has that Don been?
I think he wanted the move, didn't he?
Big time.
I mean, I feel sorry for players like Gaye, like Eze, who probably could have shipped off and they stuck around. You know, I'm looking at their team and I'm just thinking, right, Henderson in goal, he's all right. He's got a lot to do, though.
Yeah.
You know, they've got the quality is diminished. They're a worse team than they were last season.
So what the table is telling me here is goals conceded all around them.
Crystal Palace beat Spurs.
Exactly. From 20th to 14th, they've got the least goals conceded, but also the second least scored. So they're defensively, decent
they're not so bad.
Unit.
Yeah.
They cannot put the ball in the back of the net, is what I'm seeing here.
Yeah. I mean, the players they've brought in, is it Kamada as well?
Yeah.
I don't think he's been any good.
He hasn't looked.
I mean, a lot of people are just writing him off already. You know, Eddie, I mean, I really want it to work.
Yeah, I want it to work.
But I don't know. They signed fucking Rob Holding a season and a half ago. Mm. And he's been stuck in the under-21s because he's had a falling out with Glasner. It's mental. Surely it can't get worse. But I don't see it getting better. Mm. I really don't. Yeah,
you need the forwards because you've lost a lot in losing Elise. And then the season before that, losing Zaha. You've lost a lot in that front
line.
Their
next six is Villa away, Newcastle at home, Ipswich away, City at home, Brighton away, Arsenal at home.
Yeah, that's not good.
We could see them coming by the time sort of like December, before Christmas, they could be rock bottom. They really could.
They really could.
Because I'm looking at...
Although Southampton don't fill me with much faith.
It's only 3 points in it, mate.
It's true. But Southampton, one win, one draw, 9 losses.
Relegate him now.
Yeah. You don't like Russell Martin at all.
I don't mind him, but he's like, keep ball, do nothing with it.
That's kind of what you see against City. They play really well against Man City, but have they got enough to put the ball in the back of the net in the big leagues?
Mate, if Palace is sitting down there come January, they could lose someone like Gaye, they could lose someone like Eze, they could lose someone like Wharton, Southampton, they could lose someone like Carl Walker-Peters. You know, these teams could get picked apart. Someone like Cunha could be off. You know, these things happen.
Scary times for the teams down here.
Very scary times. Right, Board Draw Fives.
Jeez! So we're back with Board Draw Fives after a little hiatus. The leaderboard, check it out on our sociables. Socials. At the top, we've got Mike still.
Yeah,
9 points.
Mental.
Grim stuff. And then I think it's Big Luke with 7. Jacob with 6. Yep. And this week, we've got Rory from the Anglo-Italian pod. Great stuff over there. Check them out. We will have their links in the description to do Board Draw 5. Check out his predictions here.
Hello, Rory from the Anglo-Italian pod here. I want to say thank you to the Board Draw guys for inviting us to get involved in their score predictions competition. Fingers crossed I don't embarrass the podcast completely, but regular listeners will know the Anglo-Italian pod curse is a real thing, so the opposite will definitely happen. Let's see. The first game I've been asked to preview and predict is West Ham 3, Everton 2. The David Moyes derby, two teams in terrible form, neither can defend. Both teams trying desperately to not be the next one to have David Moyes in charge. I'm going to say West Ham 3, Everton 2. Maybe this is wishful thinking. Most people will probably be thinking this will be a 0-0. But I think both of these teams going forward are okay. It's at the back where they struggle. I'm predicting West Ham at home, last minute winner. Another 3-2 to add to Everton's collection of 3-2 losses this year. I just think West Ham have just got enough quality to get over the line. I'm going to say Bowen with the winner. Why not? Going to put my neck on the line with that one. Next up, we have Brighton taking on Man City. Obviously, a horrendous week for Man City. The biggest slump I've seen them in for quite a few years. Fresh off that humiliation from Lisbon, I think they're going to struggle going to the Amex. Brighton, of course, also not been particularly tight at the back, but they can go forward. They've got that guy, Welbs. I'm going to say Brighton 2, Man City 1. I think eventually Brighton will be able to hold on to one of these leads and see the job through. I think Man City, obviously Haaland misfiring, looking a bit uninspired at the moment. I think this is the perfect stage for Brighton to get a win here. Next, we're going to be talking about Liverpool, Aston Villa. I'm going to be a bit more realistic here. As much as I want to say Villa will win this, I think Liverpool are going to get the job done. I think it will be quite comfortable as well. Villa, obviously, also in a bit of a blip at the moment, really not playing well. We're unlucky midweek against Bruges with that kind of bizarre penalty. But they're not really playing as well as they should be. Liverpool looking absolutely dominant, not conceding many goals, looking like the favourites for the title based on their current performances. So I'm going to say Liverpool 2, Aston Villa 0. I'm going to say Luis Diaz, both goals. He's been on fire this season. Scored again during midweek, I'm pretty sure. So I'm going to say, yeah, Diaz, both goals, Liverpool 2, Villa 0. The next game, the Chris Wood derby, Forest taking on Newcastle. Now, of course, Newcastle beat my beloved Arsenal last weekend, and this isn't sour grapes, or at least I don't think it is, but I'm going to say, fresh off the back of a big win, Newcastle, they're going to lose this game. They've not really been scoring many goals. Forest have been really efficient. Their defence looking good. The first team here where I've been able to say their defence is looking good. So I'm going to say Nottingham Forest 1, Newcastle 0. Of course, Chris Wood getting the winner. Who else? He's been on fire. October player of the month. I'm going to bet that the curse doesn't continue and he gets a winner here against his old team and Forest continue their flying start to the season. The final game, and I think this is probably my heart ruling over my head on this one. I've gone for Chelsea 1, Arsenal 3. I know Arsenal haven't been scoring a lot at the moment and really can't find the back of the net. But Chelsea tend to be a team we do well against when we're on bad runs. So I'm going to continue. I'm going to hope that that continues. So I'm going to say Chelsea take the lead, but Arsenal find their goal-scoring form. Bukayo Saka, who else, drags us through, gets us the 3 points. And then as Chelsea are pushing on, we add a third. I think I'd absolutely take that. So quickly as a recap, West Ham 3, Everton 2, Brighton 2, Man City 1, Liverpool 2, Villa 0, Forest 1, Newcastle 0, Chelsea 1, Arsenal 3. I sit here anticipating and hoping. Guys, thanks again for having us on. Fingers crossed.
Right, juicy stuff. Starting off, we have West Ham 3, Everton 2, which finished 0-0. The Moyes derby.
He did say, in all fairness to him, a lot of people will say that this game will be a 0-0. We should have said it.
He gets 0 points.
But yeah, no, I like it. My favourite is when people in their like build up to their predictions
say the correct results.
Yeah, it's funny.
Following that up, we had Brighton versus Man City, where he predicted 2-1, and he got it spot on. That is an absolutely outrageous prediction.
Yeah, you should get more points if you predict like a super underdog to beat.
Yeah, 100%. If you predict City, Liverpool, Arsenal to lose,
yeah. Then, great stuff there, Rory. That's, 3 points.
Speaking of Liverpool, it was Liverpool versus Aston Villa, where he got another correct prediction, a 2-0 win to Liverpool.
At this point, Luke's getting squeaky bum time.
I'm getting nervous.
He's 6 points with 2 games left to predict.
I think as, you know, a member of the podcast, I should be able to have another go and try top McKez.
I think we both get another go. Especially me. At a howler.
But yeah, so he's up to 6 points. Then he had Forest to beat Newcastle 1-0. That finished 3-1 to Newcastle.
Don't hate the prediction, to be fair.
So 0 points for that. And then he had Chelsea 1 and then Arsenal to score 3, which finished as a stinky 1-1 draw.
He did say that he was going with his Arsenal heart. Not always the way, but I like it.
So he finishes with 6 points, which puts him
tied in third place
with Jacob.
It's great stuff, to be fair, because I've had to do a lot of animation at the bottom end of the table. At least this time, we can stick to the top end of the table.
Stick to the top end of the table. But yeah, the table is shaped up nicely. If you know any creators that you want to see on here, or you're a creator yourself and you'd like to give it a go, just hit us up in any of our socials, in our DMs, and we'd love to get you on.
If you want to get any football gear for the Christmas season, festive season's fast approaching. If you want to get anybody Christmas presents, some football bits and bobs, use our classic football shirts link in the description down below. We get a little bit of a kickback, which is great for the pod. Use the code BORDRAW10
at checkout. Save yourself a nice little 10% off. If you spend £100, you get £10 off. That is maths.
And we get that £10 as well, which
is sick. Mental. Yeah, and that goes straight back into making the pod as best as it can be.
I promise I won't spend it on a Christmas hacker. I might do, actually. That'd be sick. We should do it. Christmas Day podcast. Yeah, we just do like
actors. Donate us all your fucking Christmas money from your nan and we'll put it on an acca. You send us a tenner, you get to put one leg on the acca.
But yeah, no, use our code, check us out on socials, all that good stuff.
Gamble responsibly.
We will start posting more. It's been a busy time, but
we're back. We're back. The football is back. And so is Board Raw.
Come on, bud.